take your Bible this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. The sermon I'm about to preach is not a Mother's Day sermon. It's a sermon that I intended for today and for a special reason. It's something I think we need to learn. There's some of you, what I'm about to say and teach will be a little new to you, but it's always been in the Bible. I'm going to talk to you today about the subject I call the sermon, Scriptural Worship. Scriptural worship. The word worship's used all over the place out there today, but most of the people that use it have no idea what real worship is. And for some, you'll have to adjust your thinking to the Bible if you want to do it God's way. Genesis chapter 22, I want you to, again, find verse number 5. Genesis 22, 5. Stand with me, if you will, real quickly. Genesis chapter 22, and I want you to look at verse number 5. Genesis 22, verse number 5. And the Bible says this, "Then Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." Listen, I'm going to read a couple of other verses to you. Genesis 24, verse 26 says, "And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord." In Genesis 24, verse number 48, it says this, "And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son." Then, in Genesis 24, verse number 52, it says, "And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth." Again, I call the sermon today, Scriptural Worship. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get started. Father, my time is short. I certainly don't want to cheat you. So I pray, God, that you will help me to compact the truth, but we sure need to know what's going to be said and know it well. I pray, Father, that you will, in your own way, get involved to make the sermon just right. Not for us, just right for you. Holy Spirit, control what's said and done, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. For today's sermon, I looked up and studied every time the word worship is used in the Bible. Today, I will mention 73 different verses to you. I'll either read some or I'll mention them to you. Paul, though, kind of sums up the concept of worship today. In Acts chapter 17, verse number 23, he said there were people in his day that were ignorantly worshiping. Ignorantly worshiping. Usually when you and I are ignorant about something spiritual, we're doing it our way instead of God's way. They did in that day, as many even do it today. Maybe they worship ignorantly. A moment ago in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 5, I read to you the very first time in the Bible the word worship is mentioned. Of course, if Genesis being the first book of the Bible, if we read the word worship for the first time and we find the scenario in which the word worship is used, then I think it would be safe to say that there is a foundational teaching there about the concept or this thing called worship. So the story then that is mentioned here in Genesis 22:5 gives us a chance to see God's original intent concerning this important issue of worship. In Genesis 22, there is a story here of Abraham offering his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. God tells Abraham to take his only son, Isaac, to Mount Moriah. He said, "When you arrive there, you're going to offer him as a sacrifice." Abraham and Isaac are headed to the mountain. Now, Isaac did not know that he was to be that sacrifice. Abraham, Isaac, a donkey, some wood for the fire, they were all traveling to the mountain. Abraham tells his son to wait. Abraham tells his servant, he said, "Now you wait at home while we go and we're going to go and we're going to go to the mountain and worship," the Bible says. Isaac said to his dad, he said, "Dad, we have fire, we have wood, but there is no lamb. Where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham told his son, he said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Abraham actually lays Isaac on an altar, and he is bound there, and he is about to be given as that sacrifice. Abraham took out his knife and moved it toward his son, verse number 10 says, "But then suddenly the angel of the Lord speaks, and he said, 'Stop.' Abraham looked over to a thicket and sees a ram whose horns have been stuck or trapped in that thicket. And that ram then was God providing a sacrifice so Isaac would not be used. He takes that ram and he releases it and then, he takes the ram, he releases Isaac, and then the ram is given as a sacrifice. Now, all that story to say this. In Genesis 22:5 it says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." I want you to notice, Abraham was alone with his son when they worshiped. He had actually left everybody else for his worship time. Now, if you don't get anything else that I'm about to say to you, I want you to understand something. God deserves worship. And God, and what I would like to see us accomplish today is I'd like everybody here to be able to truly worship your God and for Him to get what He deserves. So, now we go back. The very first time that worship is mentioned in the Bible, Abraham and his son, they were alone when they worshiped. The second mention of worship in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 24. Abraham had sent his servant back to their home country to find a bride for his son Isaac. At each step of accomplishment, this servant, not in a crowd, but the servant, after he accomplishes something for his master, he alone worships God for a moment for the accomplishment. In Genesis 24:26, it says, "And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord." Rebekah offers Abraham's servants food for his camels. In this passage of Scripture, he takes the food, but he privately worships God for that blessing. In Genesis 24:48, the servant handed Rebekah some earrings and some bracelets. It was a part of the story, and you don't even have to understand the whole story. But when that happens, that servant then worships God at that moment. In Genesis 25, verse number 52, Rebekah's dad gives his blessing for Rebekah to marry Isaac, and that servant, in private, takes a moment and then worships God for that. Not one of these episodes from the book of Genesis about worship took place in a crowded building where everybody watched. They were alone with their God. Today, I want you all to understand something. Now, I'm an old-fashioned Baptist. I don't apologize for the truth of the Bible, and I'm not going to. There has been some terminology that have developed over the years. I don't even know where it came from. They don't call them church services anymore. They call them worship services. We still have church services here. And I want you to understand, not one time in those two foundational stories about worship did it happen where there's a big crowd of people. It was a private thing, and I hope you'll understand. Worship is an intimate moment between you and God. And let me tell you something. You're not to be physically intimate in public. I think you all know that, right? You can get arrested for public indecency. Oh, but wait a minute. I think worship, because it's an intimate thing with God, the most of your worship will take place when you and God are alone, where He gets all of your attention, where He gets all of you. Now, listen to this. John chapter 4, verse number 22 says, it's verse 22, 23, and 24, it says, "Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of Jesus. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." Notice that that some worship, but they don't even know what they're doing. Verse number 2 speaks of true worshipers, which means there are those that worship a true way, then there must be those that don't worship a true way. I tell you something, there are so-called churches all over the place today saying they're worshiping God, and they're not. They're not. Just because they say they're worshiping, that doesn't mean that they are. Hey, don't you think that God deserves that we worship Him His way? Not our way? Okay, stay with me if you will. We are to worship God. Psalm 29 verse 2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord and the beauty of His holiness." Psalm 66 verse number 4 says, "All the earth shall worship thee." Luke chapter 4 verse number 8 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Psalm 95 verse number 6 says, "O come, let us worship and bow down." Many are guilty of service to God, or maybe many are guilty of serving a God they don't even know. I just wish I had 2 hours to say what I want to say this morning. Folks, you're supposed to be close to God. Are you? Are you close to God? In His opinion? We are to worship God. But I think there are people that are guilty of serving a God that they really do not know in an intimate way. Okay, I said number one, we are to worship God. I say number two, then what is worship? The Bible says in Psalm 99 verse number 5, "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool." Worship is lifting Him up. Really, while pushing yourself down. Worship is lifting Him up while pushing yourself down. Worship is adoring what He is. Worship is when you personally focus on His greatness. Worship is an individual act where the Christian truly humbles themselves and lets God know that we know who and what He is, and we reverence that. It's a time when He gets our total attention. Do you know He is all-powerful? Revelation 19:6. You know, He is all-knowing. Psalm 147 verse 5. He is holy. Psalm 99 verse 5. He is the perfect and just one. Isaiah 45 verse 21. He's the owner of all things in Psalm chapter 24 verse number 1. He's the creator of all things. Revelation chapter 4 verse number 11. And worship is when an individual stops all the chaos around them, both physically and emotionally, and they lock in on God. They, in spirit and truth, make a personal connection with God, bragging to Him about Him. Now, the average person doesn't take the time to truly worship. Let me explain a couple things to you. Prayer is asking for something. Thanksgiving is thanking Him for what He has given you. Praise is recognizing what He has done. Worship is adoring what He is. To worship properly, you stop and concentrate, truly accept and recognize His presence and who He is. Folks, worship is a very personal thing. It's not a party. At a party, everybody's looking at each other. They're conjuring up an atmosphere. God deserves your personal worship. Come on. He wants your worship. Listen carefully. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's worship. It is where you are alone with God and you make a connection that is holy. And you lift Him up for what He is. It's not you and I trying to impress each other with a bunch of religious rigmarole publicly. So, I've told you we are to worship. It's in the Bible. I told you what worship is. Now, Worship in the Bible, most all the time, was an individual act. I challenge you, do what I did. Start in the book of Genesis, go all the way through the book of Revelation, look up every time the word worship is there, and study it. I couldn't tell you the number of hours I put into this sermon that's going to take me approximately 3 hours to preach this morning. There's not one single mention of what they call a worship service in the New Testament. I'm for worship. We're supposed to worship. But the human race has a way religiously to get things out of sync. We get things out of their order. Nowhere are we commanded to have what we call a worship service. Worship was not done in big groups in the Bible. Worship was not a public demonstration. When Abraham and Isaac went to Mount Moriah in Genesis 22:5, it was private. That's where they worshiped. When Abraham's servant went to find Isaac a bride, he worshiped 3 times, but it was done in private. Listen to me. Moses worships as an individual when he received the table of law in Exodus chapter 34, verse number 8. During the battle with the Midianites, Gideon, as an individual, worshiped in Judges chapter 7, verse number 15. When Hannah was told that she was to have a son, she worshiped privately, individually, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. You say, well, why? Why is that all private? Because God deserves to be with you and have your undivided attention. If you're going to worship and worship in the purest sense, you need to get alone with God and make a connection. When was the last time you were alone with God and you made a true blue connection with the great and holy God of the universe? You thought by walking around saying praise God, singing a song, that you were worshiping. That is not worship in its purest form. Most of you sang and you were worried to death what the person beside you thought. You call that giving God attention? See, Saul worshipped as an individual in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 31. After David repents of his sin and the death of his illegitimate child, he worships, but he did it by himself in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 20. David on top of a mountain alone worships in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 32. Job is alone and worships after he hears of the death of his children, but he did it in Job 1:20. But he was alone. A leper came to Jesus to get cleansing, and he alone worships God in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 2. A Jewish ruler seeks help from Jesus concerning his daughter. He is an individual, then worship God in Matthew 9:18. And one of the reasons why God says, I want you to worship, but I want to be alone with you, is because he deserves your undivided attention if it's proper worship. That's where he's looking straight through you and you're looking right at him. And hey, and by the way, while you're alone, it might be a good idea to put your phone in another room. If you want to worship God, you don't need to check your texts in between your worship time with God. Do you know how irritating it is to be talking to someone, they're constantly doing this? Come on. Let me tell you something. You want to do that to me, it's okay. I'm a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner, but my God deserves better than that. God deserves for you to worship and not watch the television and worship and not sip your coffee and for you to worship and not be preoccupied. You want to really know what worship is? That's where you get close to God and you don't do that in a group. God doesn't save people in a group and you don't get close to God in a group. You say, how do I get close to God? You get close to God. I can't be close to God for my wife and she can't get close to God for me. I can't get close to God for my kids and they can't get close to God for me. Jeff Owens has to get close to God by himself. And in a moment, I'll add to this, but you need to understand something. If you truly want to worship, you need some time alone with your God where you can make a connection with God and stop being religious and stop acting like a Christian and truly become one where you get to know the great God of the universe and He gets to know that you want to know Him and that you know who He is and what He is and what He can do. And you give Him all the praise and the honor and the glory for all of what He is. But the average church and the average Christian has no concept of what worship is. It's a religious word that's thrown around. We get together, have a party, roll our eyes in the back of our head, sway back and forth, sing kumbaya, and we think we have worshiped. God says, what a farce! I wanted to be with you! A woman who sought healing for her daughter worshipped individually. In Matthew 15:25, a blind man worshipped Jesus after he was healed. But it wasn't a service. It's in John 9:38. Lydia worshipped, but alone in Acts 16:14. A man named Justus worshipped in his home. Acts 18:7. Jacob, at the time of his death, worshipped alone. Hebrews 11:21. Worship is an individual act. And this is so because God deserves our true, sincere, undivided, concentrated attention. And I hate to tell you, others interrupt worship. The average religious person comes to church and is just scared to death of what everybody thinks around them and what's going on around them. You call on the average person to pray in church, they're petrified of how they're wording their prayer to God. Not because of God's concern, but we're freaked out by the human race. Amen. Worship. That's you and God. I'm not a good Christian. I don't think I'm a good pastor. But your pastor does one thing. And I try very hard. I get alone with God. I get alone with Him. God knows I love Him. And there are times when I shut everybody and everything out. And I say, okay, God. It's just me and you. I say, God, you don't have much to work with. But you have all of me right now. And some of you, you're failing miserably. I'll tell you why. You're not close to God. This isn't a show. It's real. So, here's what I've said so far. I told you, the Bible tells us we're to worship. Secondly, we discovered worship is adoring what He is. And then thirdly, worship in the Bible was very personal. It was intimate. Remember, we know better than to be totally committed to physical intimacy publicly, don't we? But we need to be intimate with God. It's a private time with Him. Listen, worship in the New Testament, I looked 35 times in the New Testament the word worship is used. Not one of them was a worship service. Now, can you tell I'm for worship? I'm just trying to tell you. The religious world always takes something God does and they twist it. They get it out of joint. They mess up the rhythm. God is in charge of how we worship Him. I'm glad we're an independent fundamental Baptist church. Independent means we don't get orders from any physical headquarters. Well, we do. We get our orders from up north. You say, where at? Way north. But I want to do it the way God wants it done. The word worship is used 35 times in the New Testament. Not one time does it have to do with a public worship service. You say, but why, preacher? I've been explaining it. Worship, if you really want to do it, you got to connect with God. I'll tell you something. You've been listening to what I've been saying, and that's good. But you're not really worshiping right now. You're listening to what I'm saying. Worship, you got to connect personally, you and God. When my kids were growing up, when I wanted to talk to my kids, there are times I would take their chin and I would say, you look right here. Look right in my God-given eyeballs. And don't you look away. And I would say something like this. I'd highly recommend you not do that again. Do you understand? Made all the difference in the world. You say, why? We connected. Right? Worship is you connecting with God. Oh, yeah, I think obviously there's some worship that goes on in the service and all. We're trying to connect, but I'm just telling you, the purest form of worship all the way through the Bible, it was a person with God alone. Not one time does it have to do with the public service. Wise men come to worship baby Jesus, but it wasn't a public service. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. Herod inquires about worshiping Jesus. Not a mention of having a worship service. Matthew 2, 8. Satan speaks of Jesus worshiping him. But it wasn't even in a public service. Satan again mentions that worship in Luke 4, 7. The Bible in Matthew 15, 9 says this, "But in vain they do worship me." Vain. What's that mean? It's a show. Let me tell you something. We sing a song. You close your eyes. You do this. And you think you're worshiping. Worship is not you showing off anything. Worship is an internal, spiritual connection with your concentration locked in on your God. It's not a show. It never was intended to be a show. It mentions vain worship again in Mark 7, 7. Jesus rebukes a woman at Sychar's well for her misunderstood worship. Listen to this. John 4, 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You know, every time that they were in a mountain, they went off in a mountain to be a what? Alone. It says our fathers worshipped in this mountain. But ye say that in Jerusalem, the place where men ought to worship. Here it is said somebody went off alone to worship. Now they're trying to talk people into doing it all in this one place. And this woman got rebuked. Again, John 4:22 mentions Sychar's well and a worship. It's mentioned in John 4:23 and John 4:24. And it's mentioned in John 12:20. Worship is mentioned when it comes to a golden calf in the wilderness, but it's mentioned in Acts chapter 7, verse number 42. But it was wrong worship. You know what happened? That a golden calf had been formed in the Old Testament, and all the people were together while Moses was on the mountain. And what were they doing? They were partying, worshiping. They said, "We're worshiping. It's a big hoopla. We're throwing a party." Worship is not a party. Worship you and God. Together, connecting, alone. Paul mentions that on Mars Hill, there were people that were worshiping an unknown God. Worship is, it says in Acts 18, 13, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." Here it said, there's someone that's persuading people to worship contrary to the Scripture. You can find worship in Acts 24:11. You can find worship connected to the Bible way of doing things in Acts 24:14. Individual worship is taking place again. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3. Angel worship is mentioned, and it's wrong, but it's mentioned as people worshiping angels in Hebrews 1:6. Worship in the synagogue of Satan is mentioned in Revelation 3:9, and it's mentioned again in Revelation 4:10, and then again in Revelation 9:20, and again in Revelation 3:8. And for every one of these, I could give you the study that I did on it. I'm just telling you what I found. I started in the book of Genesis. I went all the way to the book of Revelation. I looked at the word worship every time it was used. Never one time was it a party. Never time was it a big hoopla. Never one time was there a whole bunch of people doing it. It was someone that meant business with God, and they were in an atmosphere where they could connect with their God. Some did not worship properly. Revelation 13, 15. Revelation 14, 7. Revelation 14, 9. Revelation 14, 11. Revelation 15, 4. Revelation 19, 10. Revelation 22, 8. Revelation 22, 9. And for those of you men out there that listen to my sermons on the internet, I said those fast. You'll have to run it back so you can get the scripture written down so you can preach my sermon next week at your church. I have now read to you or related to you all the verses that are mentioned in the New Testament. And I've mentioned all the times throughout the Bible where this thing of worship is mentioned. And I got to tell you, there was not one what they called a worship service. I think that we are to have services. I think we're to have church. I believe that. I think we're to worship. But you got to be careful. Because while we're here, God's not getting your undivided attention. You say, well, I just won't come to church and stay home and worship. Now you are breaking the command of God to be in church, so you're supposed to be here. So what am I supposed to do? Worship on your time.
Amen. Come on.
Can you work God in? Turn off your television. Stay off the internet. Stay out of the bar. Stay home and worship. Now, let me explain something. Church services have a special purpose. We're commanded to assemble. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling. That word assembling there is the Greek word ekklesia. It means churching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach. See, the worship element of the Christian life is so big and so important to God, He said, I'm not real sure you're going to get a whole lot of that done in a public service, which makes sense. So, He said, we're going to have church, but you're going to have to break away and get alone somewhere and worship God if you really want to do it totally and right. You know, the New Testament public church services were used, and I could give you a Bible study right now and show you what for. The New Testament church services, like our church, they're used for strengthening God's people, used for taking the Lord's Supper, used for baptism. It's used for a public prayer, but I'm going to tell you something about prayer too. Most prayer warriors that get something done don't get it done in groups. Most people that pray together in groups are so concerned about what the other people think of their prayer, that's why they say, oh Lord, God of Jehovah, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God knows who He is. The people that get things from God know how to get alone with God, lock into God, and make a connect. I'm for prayer meetings. But most great things don't come from group prayer. We're too freaked out. Amen. We can't handle the human race. The New Testament church is for strengthening God's people. The services are to take the Lord's Supper and baptism and praying and Bible study and preaching and song and offerings. So-called worship services sometimes take away from the main purpose of the church service and then dilute people's idea of worship. Most people think, I went to church, so I worship. So God never truly gets your worship. You say, what am I supposed to do? Do both. Come to church, watch your preacher split his britches on his pulpit, stand up, shuck the corn, yell and scream for a little while, irritate you a little bit out of your coma spiritually, and then go home, get with God. Take a walk on the backside of your property. Connect with God and truly give Him that pure worship He deserves. There is worship that occurs during some of the church services. But if you really want to worship right, you better get somewhere where you can concentrate. You know, I am just totally convinced that people, you know, the average person in here, the only way you're going to read your Bible well, you better get yourself alone somewhere, in quiet, away from everything, and learn how to lock in and read your Bible. The average person in this room, you can't read your Bible but just a moment. Your mind's all over the place. Yeah, I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, you're worried about everything under the sun. Most of you can't pray. Now look, if we can't pray well in private, how well do you think we're going to do when there are people around? If we can't concentrate on our Bible reading in private, how well are we going to do if we're doing it all in public? Well, worship is very much so like that. Worship is to be done in its purest, most powerful way is you and God alone. I'm not taking all worship out of everything that we do. I'm just telling you, you want to do it to its fullest extreme. It's alone. So, they have what they call formal worship services. You say, what's that? Well, the Bible talks about I think it's 2 Timothy 3:5. It talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You say, what's a formal worship service? Well, number one, it's not worship, but it's starchy. Gloria Patris. If you must talk, whisper. If you must whisper, whisper a prayer. Sevenfold amens. hollow chanting that's ritualistic and insincere, formal garb. Folks, it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before I ever walk in here with a robe on. It's not going to happen. What is that? That is a formalistic form of so-called worship. Then the charismatic contemporary group, theirs all emotional. It's all about music, not preaching. It's a loud time instead of a quiet time for worship. Drama instead of preaching. Did you know that when they say, we're having a worship service, got this Christian rock and roll band. Wait a minute, I thought the Bible said, be still and know that I am God. When the speakers are taller than the pastor and they got it cranked for the music, do you really think they're connecting in a holy way with God? Nah, they're just remembering where they came from the world. Satisfying the flesh because they don't want to be separated and live right. They want to get all the world they can integrated into their religion. Well, you're in the wrong church for that. Worship is not an emotional time between people. And people really mix up about that. I could just feel you all. I don't going to feel anybody. I could feel you all. I'm very sorry. Worship is you and God. So, I would challenge you. Take your Bible and do what I did. Study it all. Before you make a blatant, bold statement like I have this morning. But I know what the Bible says. And I think the thing that would help you most is just realize God deserves our worship. And to give it to Him best, I've got to get alone with Him. I don't worship to impress you. You're not to worship to impress me. I need to give God all of me at some point of my life. You really need to do it every day. Let's leave here today with an intent of worshiping God the scriptural way. We'll continue to have church services. Well, I'm sure there'll be moments that you connect with God in a very spiritual way while you're here. But I wouldn't depend on the church service for your worship, because God's probably not getting all of you at that moment.